Suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me. I have nothing to set before him." Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door's already locked. I'm already in bed. The kids are in bed." I'm paraphrasing a little bit. "I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he's his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, his persistence, he will get up and give him everything he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." That's story number one. Story number two. I'm going to need some help here. I hope they don't mind if I borrow this. What is this? Straw. And what is this? It's a camel. Now, if I take this straw and put it on top of the camel, what happens? It just stays there, nothing. What happened? Yeah, Santa Claus is worshiping Jesus too. Now, let me ask you another question. What happens if I took lots more of these and I kept putting them on top of the camel? What'll happen? At some point, I will put one straw too many, and the camel will collapse on the ground. It will be the straw that breaks the camel's back. That's story number two. There's one more story. Some of you may have heard this one. "No, I need a straw on that camel. I'll put it back in a minute." Let me read another story to you. You ready? On the 15th of May, in the jungle of Newell, in the heat of the day, in the cool of the pool, he was splashing, enjoying the jungle's great joys, when Horton the elephant heard a small noise. So Horton stopped splashing. He looked towards the sound. "That's funny," thought Horton. "There's no one around." Then he heard it again, just a very faint yelp, as if some tiny person were calling for help. "I'll help you," said Horton, "but who are you? Where?" He looked and he looked. He could see nothing there but a small speck of dust blowing past through the air. "I say," murmured Horton, "I've never heard tell of a small speck of dust that is able to yell. So you know what I think? Why, I think that there must be someone on top of that small speck of dust. Some sort of creature of very small size, too small to be seen by an elephant's eyes. Some poor little person who's shaking with fear that he'll blow in the pool he has no way to steer. I'll just have to save him, because after all, a person's a person, no matter how small." So gently and using the greatest of care, the elephant stretched his great trunk through the air, and he lifted the dust speck and carried it over and placed it down safe on a very soft clover. "Humph," humphed a voice. "'Twas a sour kangaroo." And the young kangaroo in the pouch said, "Humph," too. "Why, that speck is as small as the head of a pin. A person on that? Why, there never has been." Horton fought back with great... Oop, I just had the wrong page. How would if I find it? Oh, no. "Believe me," said Horton, "I tell you sincerely, my ears are quite keen and I heard him quite clearly. I know there's a person down there, and what's more, quite likely there's two, even three, even four. Quite likely a family, for all that we know, a family with children just starting to grow. So please," Horton said, "as a favor to me, try not to disturb them, just let them be." "I think you're a fool," laughed the sour kangaroo, and the young kangaroo in her pouch said, "Me too." "You're the biggest blame fool in the jungle of Newell," and the kangaroos plunged in the cool of the pool. What terrible splashing, the elephant frowned. "I can't let my very small persons get drowned. I've got to protect them. I'm bigger than they, so he plucked up the clover and hustled away. Through the high jungle treetops, the news quickly spread. He talks to a dust speck. He's out of his head. Just look at him walk with that speck on the flower. And Horton walked, worrying almost an hour. Should I put this speck down? Horton thought with alarm. If I do, these small persons may come to great harm. I can't put it down, and I won't after all. A person's a person, no matter how small. Then Horton stopped walking. The speck voice was talking. The voice was so faint, he could just barely hear it. Speak up, please, said Horton. He put his ear near it. My friend, came the voice. You're a very fine friend. You've helped all us folks on this dust speck no end. You've saved all our houses, our ceilings and floors. You've saved all our churches and grocery stores. You mean, Horton gasped, you have buildings there too? Oh yes, piped the voice, we most certainly do. I know, called the voice, I'm too small to be seen, but I'm mayor of a town that is friendly and clean. Our buildings to you would seem terribly small, but to us who aren't big, they're wonderfully tall. My town is called Whoville, for I am a who, and we whos are all thankful and grateful to you. And Horton called back to the mayor of the town, you're safe now, don't worry, I won't let you down. But just as he spoke to the mayor of the speck, three big jungle monkeys climbed up Horton's neck. The Wickersham brothers came shouting, what rot! This elephant's talking to who's who are not. There aren't any who's, and they don't have a mayor, and we're going to stop all this nonsense. So there. They snatched Horton's clover. They carried it off to a black-bottom eagle named Vlad Vladikov, a mighty strong eagle of very swift wing. And they said, will you kindly get rid of this thing? And before the poor elephant could even speak, that eagle flew off with a flower in his beak. All that late afternoon and far into the night, that black-bottomed bird flapped his wings in fast flight, while Horton chased after with groans over stones that tattered his toenails and battered his bones, and begged, please don't harm all my little folks who have as much right to live as bigger folk do. But far beyond him, that eagle kept flapping, and over his shoulder called back, quit your yapping. I'll fly the night through. I'm a bird. I don't mind it, and I'll hide this tomorrow where you'll never find it. And at 6:56 the next morning he did it. It sure was a terrible place that he hid it. He let that small clover drop somewhere inside of a great patch of clovers 100 miles wide. Find that, sneered the bird, but I think you will fail. And he left with a flip of his black-bottomed tail. I'll find it, cried Horton. I'll find it or bust. I shall find my friends on my small speck of dust. And clover by clover, by clover with care, he picked up and searched and called, are you there? But clover by clover by clover, he found that the one that he sought for was just not around. And by noon, poor old Horton, more dead than alive, had picked, searched, and piled up 9,005. Then on through the afternoon, hour after hour, till he found them at last on the 3,000,000th flower. My friends, cried the elephant, tell me, do tell. Are you safe? Are you sound? Are you whole? Are you well? From down on the speck came the voice of the mayor. We've really had trouble, much more than our share. When that black-bottomed birdie let go when we dropped, we landed so hard that our clocks have all stopped. Our teapots are broken, our rocking chairs are smashed, and our bicycle tires all blew up when we crashed. So Horton, please, pleaded the voice of the mayor, will you stick by us who's while we're making repairs? Of course, Horton answered, of course I will stick. I'll stick by you small folks through thin and through thick. Humph, humph, the voice. For almost 2 days you've run wild and insisted on chatting with persons who've never existed. Such carryings on in our peaceable jungle. We've had quite enough of your bellowing bungle. And I'm here to state, snapped the big kangaroo, that your silly, nonsensical game is all through. And the young kangaroo in her pouch said, me too. I want to make sure I got the right page. Okay. With the help of the Wickersham brothers and dozens of Wickersham uncles and Wickersham cousins and Wickersham in-laws whose help I've engaged, you're going to be roped and you're going to be caged. And as for your dust speck, ha, that we shall boil in hot steaming kettle of bezel nut oil. Boil it, gasped Horton. Oh, that you can't do. It's all full of persons. They'll prove it to you. Mr. Mayor, Mr. Mayor, Horton called. Mr. Mayor, you've got to prove that you really are there. So call a big meeting. Get everyone out. Make every who holler. Make every who shout. Excuse me. Make every who scream. If you don't, every who is going to end up in a bezel nut stew. And down on the dust speck, the scared little mayor quick called a big meeting in Whoville Town Square. And his people cried loudly. They cried out in fear. We are here. We are here. We are here. The elephant smiled. That was clear as a bell. You kangaroos surely heard that very well. All I heard, snapped the big kangaroo, was the breeze and the faint sound of wind through the far distant trees. I heard no small voices, and you didn't either. And the kangaroo in her pouch said, me neither. Grab him, they shouted, and cage the big dope. Lasso his stomach with 10 miles of rope. Tie the knots tight so he'll never shake loose. Then dunk that dumb speck in the bezel nut juice. Horton fought back with great vigor and vim, but the Wickersham gang was too many for him. They beat him, they mauled him, they started to haul him into the cage, but he managed to call to the mayor, don't give up, I believe in you all. A person's a person, no matter how small. And you very small persons will not have to die if you make yourselves heard, so come on now and try. The mayor grabbed a tom-tom. He started to smack it, and all over Whoville they whooped up a racket. They rattled tie kettles. They beat on brass pans, on garbage pail tops, and old cranberry cans. They blew on bazooka and blasted great toots, on clarinets, oompas, and boompas and flutes. Great gust of loud racket rang high through the air. They rattled and shook the whole sky. And the mayor called up through the howling mad hullaboo, hey, Horton, how's this? Is our sound coming through? And Horton called back, I can hear you just fine, but the kangaroo's ears aren't as strong quite as mine. They don't hear a thing. Are you sure all you boys are doing their best? Are they all making noise? Are you sure every who down in Whoville is working? Quick, look through your town. Is there anyone shirking? Through the town rushed the mayor from the east to the west, but everyone seemed to be doing his best. Everyone seemed to be yapping or yipping. Everyone seemed to be beeping or bipping. But it wasn't enough, all this ruckus and roar. He had to find someone to help him make more. He raced through each building. He searched floor to floor. And just as he felt he was getting nowhere and almost about to give up in despair, he suddenly burst through a door. And that mayor discovered one shirker quite hidden away in the Fairfax Apartments, apartment 12J. A very small shirker named JoJo was standing, just standing and bouncing a yo-yo. Not making a sound, not a yip, not a chirp. And the mayor rushed inside and he grabbed the young twerp. And he climbed with the lad up the Eiffelberg Tower. This, cried the mayor, is your town's darkest hour. The time for all who's have a blood that is red to come to the aid of the country, he said. We've got to make noises in greater amounts, so open your mouth, lad, for every voice counts. Thus he spoke as he climbed. When he got to the top, the lad cleared his throat and shouted out, yop! On the count of three, can you give me a yop? One, two, three. Oh, please. Whoville is going down the tubes. We're going to try it one more time on the count of three. Now, JoJo, I need you as loud as you can yop. You have permission for 1 minute, well, for 5 seconds, to actually make noise in the church building. Can we try it again? Can you do a yop as loud as you can? The word yop. One, two, three.
Yop!
And that yop, that one small extra yop put it over. Finally, at last, from the speck on that clover, their voices were heard. They rang out clear and clean. And the elephant smiled. Do you see what I mean? They prove they are persons no matter how small, and their whole world was saved by the smallest of all. How true, yes, how true, said the big kangaroo. And from now on, you know what I'm planning to do? From now on, I'm going to protect them with you. And the young kangaroo in her pouch said, me too. From the sun in the summer, from rain when it's fallish, I'm going to protect them no matter how smallish. The end. Three stories. Story from the Bible. A story about a camel and some straw, and the story of Horton Hears a Who. Three stories, but they're all saying one point that I want to make. And the point is this. You know what it is? In every one of those stories, there is one little thing that pushes it over the top. There's a yelp, one voice. There's a straw, and there's that man that won't stop knocking. Now, there's a word, and I don't know if you guys have ever heard this term, but it's called tipping point. Have you ever heard of the word tipping point? Tipping point is when you get enough of something that it pushes it over the top. Another thing that uses a term, and this is a little bit bigger term, it's called critical mass. What it means is you reach a point where so much stuff is gone. It's like this. How about this? If you've ever seen water dripping through a roof, a ceiling, if you get enough water dripping over enough time, eventually the whole roof will crash and collapse. It's not just that one last drop does it, that one last straw, but it's all the other drops before it, but there finally gets that last one that puts it over the edge, okay? And something changes. When that straw, that last straw, that heavy straw hits that, or that last straw, very light, hits that camel, it just makes it too heavy for the camel to bear up under it. Now, in our world, there are times when things happen and it changes the direction of history. A week from Monday, there's a man's birthday we're going to celebrate, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. In the 1960s, 50s and 60s, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. felt that slavery was wrong, that it was, mistreating people of color was wrong. He felt that everyone should be equal. He felt that it didn't matter the color of your skin, we're all people. And so he began to protest, but he didn't do it with guns or knives, he did it peacefully. And what happened is more and more people caught a vision with him that it wasn't fair what was going on in our country. And they passed all these laws, civil rights laws, to make sure that people get treated equally in our country. So sometimes there's a tipping point that's good, sometimes there's a tipping point that's bad. For example, that poor camel did not want that last straw on his back, he collapsed. Now, why am I talking about tipping points and why am I talking about critical mass? Because here's my point. Jesus tells us the story in Luke 11 about the man coming who wouldn't quit until he got the bread. He talks about it in the context of prayer. Now, we know that the Bible says, I'm going to talk to your parents for a minute. The Bible talks a lot about prayer. It says, whatever you ask for in faith, believing, shall be yours. The Bible says that whatever we ask for in my name, Jesus said, be given to you, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you remain in me and I in you, you're going to bear much fruit. You can ask whatever you want if my word remains in you and you remain in me. It says that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have what we asked of him. We know the Bible says that the prayers of a righteous person are powerful, effective. We have a lot of promises about prayer. But Jesus doesn't just talk about the promise of prayer. He talks about being persistent in prayer. Now, the reason we're persistent, how many of you have ever with your parents wanted something really, really badly? And you go up to your mom or your dad and you go, Mom, 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 Dad, 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 can I have this? Can I have this? Can I have this? Can I have this? And you keep asking, 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 asking. I'm looking over at your dad to see if you do that. You do. Okay? He goes, I do. So here's the thing. When we pray persistently, we're not saying like we're going to God the Father. Come on, God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And finally God says, fine, take it just to get out of my hair. We're not talking about that. We're not talking to a God who goes like this. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. You better yell louder. I can't hear you. But what we do is there is a very real enemy, called the devil, who doesn't always like us to have our prayers answered. And in the Bible, there are several accounts where the devil tried to stop answers to prayer. But people kept praying. They kept praying until they reached what I call critical mass. They reached a tipping point where it crossed over. There was a guy by the name of Rhys Howells. He was a person that prayed a lot last century. And he said that he found that when he was praying for something that he knew to be God's will, he prayed and prayed, and he said, I prayed to the point where all of a sudden it was like something broke, and I just knew that I knew it was going to be answered. And he said, my prayers moved to praises at that point. When I was a little bit older than you are, we used to come to an altar like this, and we would pray. And we did something that's called praying through. What that meant is we would stay at that altar and pray and pray and pray until it's like we knew that we knew God heard, understood the heart's cry, and knew what was best, and he was going to provide the answer to that prayer. This week is a week of prayer in our church. We have some serious things that we need to pray about. And we don't want to just pray a one prayer here or one prayer there. We want to reach critical mass in our praying. We want to have the tipping point this week in our prayer by bringing together as many people, not from Whoville, but from Schoharie County that call Calvary Assembly home, as many as we can get, coming together at the annex to pray. And we're going to pray and we're going to pray, and it's not going to simply be, we are here, we are here, we are here. But it's going to be, oh God, please touch Sarah Lawton. Tonight, we're going to pray for her. That's what the focus, we're going to maybe pray for other things, but that's the main focus tonight. And we're going to all do it together. You can come as children. The young people can come. Adults can come. But all of us together are going to pray tonight for that very, very, very special thing. And as we all join together in our prayers, and as we pray together and pray through, and the prayers become like straws on the devil's back, that the devil ends up crushing under the prayers. And the Bible says, and the God of peace will crush Satan or bruise Satan under your feet. So we're going to have the enemy lose tonight as we pray through. Then Tuesday night, we're going to gather again for prayer. And this time, we're going to pray for the awakening that God wants to bring in this valley. We're going to pray and pray because we know God wants to do it. And I believe it's time. But sometimes there's things that hold it back. So we need to pray through. So that's going to be Tuesday night. And Thursday night, we believe that God wants to have us finish building the building, so we have our own building. So Thursday night, we're going to be praying through for that as well, for God's financial resources. So this week, tonight, Tuesday night, and Thursday night, I want to invite you to come. I want you to invite your parents to come. I want you to invite as many people as you can, because we're going to pray together. And I don't want any JoJo's missing that need to make a yelp, because we might need a yelp tonight. But it won't be a yelp, it'll be, dear Jesus. We want as many people praying to hit the tipping point, to hit critical mass, that the heavens open, the answer comes, and we pray through. We're also going to have prayer Monday, Wednesday, Friday at noon for anyone that just wants to come by and spend some quiet time with the Lord. But definitely tonight, Tuesday night, and Thursday night, we're going to gather together, church, to pray through. To pray through together. Because I believe that we have to start this. It is not by might nor by power, but by God's Spirit. And unless the Lord builds it, we're building in vain. So we're going to bathe this year. We're going to begin and bathe this year in prayer. So I'm going to ask you, don't just hear the word, do it. Be there tonight at 6:30 for prayer. How about a round of applause for these very well-behaved audience, children. Nicely done. You can go back. You can go back, guys. You can go back. Guys, you can head back to your seats. Thank you. Could you stand with me? This will probably be the only time that you ever have a sermon where Horton hears a who. Although I do remember one time doing a Dr. Seuss Sweet Feet at the old building. So the good doctor was a theologian for us today. And I hope in a fun way the point came across. Please join in prayer. God has somehow created a universe in which prayer changes the course of history. How he did it as a sovereign God, I don't have a clue. All I know is that God allows prayer to move his heart. And we have the privilege of taking part of that. So please don't keep your yelp at home. We need your yelp tonight. Father, thank you for allowing us to gather together as the body of Christ this first Sunday of a new year. Thank you for the way that you tell stories, Lord, in your word that help us understand truth. Thank you that we can use stories that help us reinforce truth. I pray, Lord, that we've caught the vision of prayer through the message today. That you're just waiting for your people to gather together. You're just waiting for us to become serious enough and intentional enough to seek your face as the body of Christ. There are blessings that are waiting to be released in this valley. We believe that your restoration over the hall, long hall there with Sarah is going to take place. We believe that funds are going to come in for the building. But Lord, you want our faith to turn into action. And so we want to do that tonight with prayer. We want to pray through. We want to add our yelps. We want to see the straws added to the back of the devil. We want to see him go. We want to submit ourselves to God and resist the devil and he flees. We want to see you win, Lord. Sometimes the enemy just stays one extra hour beyond us. We don't want that to be the case tonight, Lord. We want you to be glorified. We want to have done everything, taken our stand. So we pray that you would release us now with your grace and keeping till you bring us back together again tonight. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.